Welcome to the eLaborate Topics podcast, where we focus on lab-specific strategies for medical laboratory professionals. We're proud to be the healthcare detectives that work behind the scenes to get the results needed to influence medical decisions. Let's grow together and jump right into the lab.
Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of eLaborate Topics. I am your host and leadership mentor, Tywana Wilson. If this is your first time tuning in to eLaborate Topics, welcome. So glad you landed on this podcast. And if you are a returning guest, thank you so much for continuing to listen week after week after week. We are now in over 50 countries, and it's because of you that the podcast has taken off and we are able to impact listeners near and far with these practical leadership and technical strategies that can be used both inside and outside of the laboratory. Today is no different. I have another awesome topic for you, something for you to think about. And we talk a lot about interpersonal skills. We talk about a lot about leadership development. And I know you're like, okay, we talk about it. We know we need it. And today's topic is the reason why you need it, why it's important. Today, I'm going to talk about the power of negotiation. And I know when you hear the word negotiation, you typically think about when you are applying for a new job, when you get that salary offer, now it's time to negotiate. Or if you're trying to get a raise at work, it's time to negotiate. And negotiation is used in businesses and employment for sure. But we not only negotiate in a lot of different ways that you may not think about. We negotiate with our partners and spouses, our children, friends, co-workers, and yes, when you're buying a car, you know that process of negotiating to get the best rate, and even with your cell phone service. Negotiation is a big part of our lives, no matter who we are. And it is a skill. It really is an interpersonal skill. Some could say it's a soft skill. Some could say it's a leadership skill. But it really is a skill that has to be practiced. And you have to keep doing it and doing it and doing it to get better. And so wanted to get this on your radar so that when you are thinking about your personal and professional development, you're thinking about your next conference, you're thinking about getting more skills. And I suggest that you diversify your skills, not just get your technical skills and your discipline in hematology, chemistry, microbiology, transfusion medicine, but you also want to really hone in on those soft skills, those leadership development skills. And the person who can negotiate, I'm telling you, will be able to move further because you're able to apply some of these skills that I'm going to teach you today that's all a part of negotiation. So let's jump into it. Let's just start with the basics. Negotiation is the act of coming to an agreement on a topic that's important to all parties involved. It may include conflict resolution so that the issue gets resolved without harsh words or even hard feelings, but basically it comes up with a win-win solution. And even though we negotiate all the time, most of us could do it better. I know for me, I could do it better as well. And it, like I said, it's a skill that must be practiced and must be practiced often. You may think that some people are just born with what it takes to be good negotiators, but not always true. There are some people that are very good at talking, listening, asking questions, but this is a skill and it can be learned. And so this is what's important about it. It's not like it's part of a special gene or you were born that way or only a few people have it. Negotiation skills help us in all types of ways. So thinking about where can you use this, because I know you want practical. How does this apply to my life in the medical laboratory? So having strong negotiation skills help us improve our interpersonal relationships. It can save us money in regards to that car, that cell phone service, resolve conflict in a amicable way, in a respectful way of coming to that mutual agreement or that win-win solution for everybody in regards to the conflict. It can help you get ahead in your career with promotions and raises, because if you don't know, you might not even ask. And so sometimes employers, when they make their offer to you, it may not be their best offer, right? And so being able to negotiate, ask the right questions, being able to listen will help you get ahead in your career. And if you are a business owner or entrepreneur or even running a laboratory, it helps build a solid business because you want to be able to get your instrumentation at the best price possible for your situation. You want to be able to get your supplies in at the best cost possible. So basically, being good at compromise makes for a happier life for everybody. So maybe you've even given up compromising because you never get what you want out of the deal. And if that sounds like you, you know, you like, doesn't matter what I say, I don't get what I desire, I'm going to give up. Don't give up. I'm going to give you some tips that you can use that will help you get to that win-win. So like I said, it is about those interpersonal skills. So let me give you some key skills that's needed for successful negotiations. The more competent your interpersonal skills, the more successful you'll be when you're going to the bargaining table, because you're going to have more tools that you can pull out of your toolbox to be able to, okay, let's get to the win-win. Let's see what's best for them, which in turn would be best for me. So it's true, no matter who you are negotiating with or what you are negotiating for. So the better your interpersonal skills, the better the outcome will be. So the first thing in negotiation or first skill is being prepared. Right? You got to know what's going on so that you can walk into the negotiation being prepared. Most of the work of negotiation actually happens before you meet the other party, before you meet with that instrument vendor, before you meet with that supplier, before you meet with that prospective new employer. You can prepare by taking some time to determine what your options are. You have to understand and know what you're willing and unwilling to agree on, and understand what they call your BATNA, or your best alternative to a negotiated agreement. You should do your research before the meeting so that you can present the facts and statistics that are necessary to make a solid decision. So being prepared, understanding what the salary range is for position, for example, in your area, target area. So you need to be prepared. You can't really say California salaries and you're going for a job in Ohio. Right? So knowing what those statistics are, doing your research of what you want to take. And if you go back to thinking about a career and thinking about the negotiations, you know, think about those things as not just salary, but other things. Think about vacation time. Think about uniform allowance. Think about parking allowance. Think about tuition reimbursement. Think about loan forgiveness from the employer. Think about sign-on bonuses. Think about, like I say, uniforms. There are a lot of things that can go into that negotiation process that you should think about and be prepared. And think about those things that you are unwilling to, that are deal breakers for you. That it doesn't matter, you know, how much money they throw at you. It doesn't matter, you know, if they give you everything that I mentioned, if they say you have to work every other weekend, that could be a deal breaker for you. So understand where you're not willing to agree so that you are prepared and able to make the best decision possible. So if you want to ask for a raise, you should research what other firms in the city are paying their employees in a similar job role, as well as any fringe benefits they offer, those things like loan forgiveness, those things like meal allowances, conferences, and travel. You also want to find out what the national average is for the job title and factor in the experience others have for your pay grade. Again, but you got to keep these things in perspective on, you know, what is the national and then what is your local pay. And along with this, be clear on what you're willing to compromise on. So you may have to give up the additional week of vacation that you asked for if they will give you the raise in pay that you want. So those are things that are all part of the negotiation process. Again, making sure you understand what you aren't willing to negotiate. You know, it could be that if you want to work remote 100% of the time, and they say, well, we need you in the office 2 to 3 days a week, that's going to be a possible deal breaker for you. Or if an organization offers you more money, but with the more money come more responsibility, that could be a deal breaker. So I've seen that as well, especially when employees are ready to leave the organization. Then the organization will give that employee, say, a whole nother role, a whole nother job, and they'll give you more pay. But with that more pay comes more responsibilities. So there's really no right answer. It just depends on what's most important to you and where you're at in your life. So having this knowledge, doing the research, and knowing your own priorities will help you come across more confident and empowered. So when you're coming across frazzled and you're starting to get emotional and things like that, you are already starting to lose the negotiation. There's this quote by Chris Voss, and if you've never read any of his books, I advise you to read. He has some great books around negotiation. There's one of his books, Chris Voss teaches the art of negotiation. And then he has another book called Never Split the Difference. But one of the quotes from his Never Split the Difference books is if you approach a negotiation thinking the other person thinks like you, you are wrong. That's not empathy, that is projection. So sometimes we go into it thinking that the other person has the same ideal in mind as us. And that's not always the case. And so not projecting what you think on somebody else. But yeah, check out Chris Voss if you are not familiar with him. If you are familiar with Masterclass and the Masterclass series, he actually has a great masterclass on that platform called The Art of Negotiation. So I would strongly recommend that you take classes to develop yourself in this area. So you can definitely read books, you can do videos, YouTube is a great place, LinkedIn Learning, they have some good classes on negotiation as well. The second skill is your problem solving and analysis of problems. So good negotiators can analyze the issues and problems to help clarify them for both parties, which is invaluable. So it's unlikely that you'll reach a win-win situation when each party doesn't understand the problems facing the other. So being able to look at something from both perspectives is going to give you an upper hand in the negotiation. Problem solving skills make it possible for both parties to achieve their goals. So problem solving, critical thinking, being able to have that analysis of information. And once the problems are analyzed and understood, a skilled negotiator is able to think outside the box to come up with solutions that will benefit everybody involved. They can bring the focus to solutions rather than keeping it on the problems. So a skilled negotiator is able to think solutions versus problems, just problems. The aim of negotiation is to solve the major problem for both sides. So it's obvious why this skill is important for an effective negotiator to have. And going back to Chris Voss, he, for those of you that don't know him, he was actually a skilled negotiator for the FBI. So he was an FBI hostage negotiator who persuaded terrorists, bank robbers, kidnappers, and anybody else to see things his way. So think about that. Think about that skill. Think about how that might play out when you're working with your manager. Think about how being a skilled negotiator will work out when talking to hospital administration and communicating the value of the laboratory. Think about that from a governance and advocacy standpoint when you are communicating the role of the lab, right? So not just thinking about the problem from a lab perspective. People don't recognize us. They don't understand what we do. We don't get compensated for what we do. So not just thinking about it from our perspective, but how do you think about it from the perspective of the legislator, where you're creating a win-win for them, which in turn creating a win-win for you? Being able to communicate, negotiate, and being able to tell your value. So this is why this negotiation is important. It's easy to just tell the issues, right? It's easy to tell the issues. It's easy to tell the problems from your perspective. But the skilled negotiator is one that is able to come out of their particular problem and look at it from that of the other person. The third skill that I'll talk about in regards to negotiation is verbal communication, right? I know we're in the technology era. We're in the email era. We're in the sending a text message era. So verbal communication, it seems like, is becoming a lost art because we're so quick to use some of the other mediums that don't allow for you to be a skilled negotiator. So to ensure a win-win situation comes out of a negotiation, everyone must be able to understand everyone's points and suggestions. And you can't do that in email. Email is really for documentation, right? It's for documentation purposes of going back to recall maybe what was discussed or, you know, what is the plan. But when you are thinking about negotiation, when you're thinking about creating a win-win, solving problems, coming up with compromises, that takes verbal communication. So if you were trying to put all of this in an email to your hospital administrator, do you think they're going to be able to get the same thought around the topic of negotiation as if you were having a verbal communication? An effective negotiator can communicate their needs and goals clearly so that everyone can understand them. So not just talking in your lingo, where your audience, where your fellow laboratorians understand, but being able to communicate that to the layperson, right? So we like to use the statistic, 70% of all medical decisions are based off laboratory data. And we all know it, we all understand it, but that doesn't always land well with some of our other stakeholders, right? And so, you know, being able to communicate so that they understand, maybe that other person might better understand with a patient's story of how that laboratory data impacted the life, not necessarily the statistic that, yes, this is what we do, right? So depending on who you're talking to, you have to be able to communicate in a way that everybody understands. And without strong verbal communication skills, misunderstandings can occur, which often leads to the bargaining process quickly breaking down. And people say, no deal, I'm out of here. And if this happens, you lose trust and both parties become defensive. And so then that could be like if you go and you try to get a car and then you feel like the salesperson isn't listening to you, right? Now you're starting to get emotional and then you're like, you know what? Forget it. I'm out of here. I go to another dealer. Now trust is lost because you're thinking that person is not trying to get you the best deal and maybe trying to take your money. And now you become defensive and then now they've become defensive. And so that is not a win-win for everybody. And in that case, you lose, they lose. You went for a new car that you still didn't get and they wanted to sell a car, which is still sitting on the lot. Listening, another valuable skill in negotiating. Listening is one of the most important aspects of an effective negotiation. Listening, to be honest with you, is a critical leadership skill. And if you are a manager, being a great listener will work in your favor. Being a great listener and able to hear things that are said or unsaid is going to be critical in your success, which, you know, I know sounds counterintuitive, like listening. I mean, sounds simple, but a lot of times we don't listen for the sake of the content. We listen to respond. What is our response going to be? So when we think of negotiation, we think talk at the other person until they concede. But listening is a must-have skill when negotiating. Both attentive and active listening are required in an effective bargaining situation. For example, we need attentive listening to grasp what the other person is saying. When we are thinking only of what we want to say next or what we mentally disagree with, we miss out on what the other party is offering. When we are active listening, it shows. When the other person can tell you or they can see that you're actually really listening, they will react favorably when you all talk. So when somebody actually feels like you're listening, I mean, even think about that with your employees, if you are a manager, team leader, when your employees feel like you're listening, guess what? That level of trust increases, right? Because they feel like you're listening, you're attentive. Now the trust goes up. They feel, you know, more helpful of trying to reach a solution that works for both. So that's why active listening is important. It also ensures that we've gotten the message the other party is really sending. So do we understand what they are offering, or is it coming through emotional filters that keep us from understanding their true message? And that happens often, especially when emotions run high and people are like, okay, you know, they get emotional and then now they're focused on the emotion and not necessarily what was the topic of discussion. So making sure we understand the true message without letting our emotions get in the way. Active listening also offers us the chance to agree with the person, ask questions, and acknowledge their part of the conversation. So people will talk. Here's one thing that you'll learn. The more you let somebody talk, and you're listening, they'll keep talking and talking and talking, and they will give you clues. As they say, success leads clues. So if somebody is talking, you're listening, you're engaging, guess what? They're going to keep talking. And then you might hear something that's going to be beneficial in the long run of, hey, we can make the department better by this because I listened to my employee. Or from a negotiation standpoint with a vendor or supplier, you know, they may say something that make you think, okay, they may be willing to compromise more on price because we have more sites and they want to get their product into our system, right? Because maybe they don't have a large health system in your area that has their equipment. So vendors do it all the time. They know where they can make some compromises. And sometimes it's about being able to be affiliated or with a system that might be on a large scale as yours. So active listening is critical regardless of what area of life you are in. Listening to your children, listening to your boss and colleagues, but active listening is key. Decision-making ability. It's not uncommon for either party in the negotiation to in the bargaining process, the need to make quick decisions about an unexpected offer. So coming in fully prepared and understanding of the other side's position is part of what makes a smart snap decision possible. Because remember, I talked about being prepared at the beginning of this podcast. But the other part to that is being willing to take a bit of a risk and to think fast on your feet. And there's no room for being wishy-washy in negotiation. So sometimes you have to make a quick decision, right? Sometimes you have to go with don't have all of the facts, but you need to make that decision. And it comes from being prepared. Did you listen to what the conversation was and what would be a win-win for the other person? Thinking about the problem-solving analysis for what you know, what happened in the verbal communication, and then being ready to make some quick decisions, right? So that's going to be important about moving forward in negotiations. Figuring out what the decision maker cares about is key. And then you will be able to get on that track of getting what you need. Emotional control would be the last thing. So I've seen this a lot too in negotiations where people lose their cool, right? So they lose their cool. It's like they're not getting what they want. They're starting to get flustered. They're not able to communicate their value. It appears the other person is not listening, which could be internal because it could be one of those I'm projecting my thoughts and my mood onto somebody else. But having that emotional control. So a bargaining table is often an emotional place, right? Because depending on how you go into it, if you go into it, you know, like we going into it and somebody's got to lose, then you have already lost. When you are able to keep your emotions under control, it is a vital part of a successful negotiation for you. When you are emotional, you stop listening to what the other person is saying and you start reacting to what is being said. And being rational goes out the window. And that's when communication starts to break down. So think about somebody in a hostage situation and the person that's holding people hostage is like, I want a plane. I want $1 million. I want X, Y, and Z. If the negotiator is like, I can't get you a plane in 2 hours. I can't get you. Then at that point, when they start kind of getting all over the place, they have lost control. And at that point, the other person that they are negotiating with, that trust starts to decrease. Then they're like, well, you're not going to be able to get me $1 million. You're not going to be able to get me that plane. Well, now I need to take action into my own hands. And so being able to keep your emotions in check is huge for negotiations. So whether that's in getting a raise, negotiating your salary, whether that's negotiating with your kids. And I know that many of you might have kids that are listening to this, but your kids are always negotiating when they want to stay up later than their normal bedtime. That's a negotiation, right? So they're like, they're trying to come up with a win-win for them, a win of why you should let them stay up, and a win for them is being able to stay up, right? And so letting your emotions stay in check, keeping them in check so that you don't fly off the handle and start to lose all of the other skills that we talked about. So when your emotions start to run high, then your ability to make quick decisions start to diminish. Your ability to be an active listener starts to diminish. Your ability to be able to communicate your position about the topic starts to diminish. Whatever preparation you have done for this will start to diminish because now you're so emotional, you have forgotten what you even prepared for. And then your ability to analyze and solve the problem has started to diminish because now you are so in a frizzy and your emotions are so high. Now it's moved more so from a win-win for everybody to like they trying to take advantage of me. Where now you have gotten into a negative place and then it doesn't matter what the outcome is going to be. You're going to feel like you lost. So those are a few of the keys in being able to be a successful negotiator, regardless of what area of life you're in. You're going to need these skills. You're going to need these interpersonal skills that's going to be helpful for you. And it doesn't matter what role you're in. So if you are a frontline worker, you are on the bench as a technologist, you are phlebotomist, processor, lab director, regardless of your role, start getting these skills early, right? Even when you are a phlebotomist and you are talking with a patient, at some point you might have to negotiate with that patient, right? Sometimes patients, especially if they're being stuck every day, it's hit or miss if somebody's able to get them or not. They're going to be like, you get one time to draw my blood. If you can't draw my blood in that one time, then forget it. No go. Right now, as the phlebotomist, you have now have to activate your negotiation skills. So how do you turn it around so that it is a win-win for everybody? A win for you is going in and being able to successfully draw the patient. A win for them is you coming in and being able to successfully draw them on that first time. So thinking about your negotiation, thinking about your active listening, you know that each and every day is kind of hit or miss. So those are things that you know. You've done your legwork. You are prepared. You know that they're going to, you know, that patient is going to be potentially a difficult stick, right? They've already let you know some key things if you've listened to them. Basically, people are coming in here every day. Some get me, some don't. They might even tell you who've had the most success. So being able to listen and being able to solve the problem. In that case, you want to rebuild the trust with them, right? That comes from listening and being able to communicate that. And then you have to make the decision. You know, after looking at the person's arm, is this a person that you are confident that you can get? Or is it that you know that it would be best if somebody else drew their blood? Maybe somebody else that was more experienced or somebody else that was more comfortable. So making that decision and so that you can have that win-win and keeping your emotions in check. You know, the patient is there, they're sick. So keeping your emotions in check so that you don't get defensive. So that's what I have for you for today. Hopefully these practical tips will help you in your negotiation process, regardless of what it is, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in your personal life. So my call to action for you is to evaluate your interpersonal skills, specifically in the ones that I talked about today, that will strengthen your power of negotiation, your problem solving and analysis, your verbal communication, your ability to listen, your ability to keep your emotions in check. So think about those things and rate which ones are you stronger in. And the ones that you are stronger in, how can you continue to move those to the next level of being even better? And the ones that you're not so strong in, you know, how can you maximize that particular weakness? So that's my takeaway for you. That's the call to action. Because again, listening and getting content is great, but it's even better when you apply it. So thank you so much for listening to this episode of Elaborate Topics. I am your host for this episode, Tywana Wilson. My co-hosts, Luna Small and Stephanie Whitehead, bring you these topics week after week from our own knowledge, as well as the wisdom from our amazing guests. A new episode releases each and every Tuesday, where you can find on directimpactbroadcasting.com or your favorite podcast platform. Share this message out, and until next time, my friends, have an awesome day.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Elaborate Topics, where your hosts discussed relevant strategies for laboratory professionals. Please subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform and listen to us on directimpactbroadcasting.com. Stay tuned for another episode with information you can use to excel in your laboratory career.